T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are prone to hyperbole in this business, and I certainly am guilty of it. But when I said going into the last commercial break, one of the biggest baseball news days in the history of Chicago, that's not hyperbole. And it makes me want to think about, all right, what are the biggest sports news days that we've had over the past, you know, 5-10 years? This is a big one.
This is Bears trade for Cutler.
It is. It has that feel. It does have that feel. But this is fascinating because it brings every baseball fan in a famously divided town into the conversation.
And it brings them here to the Score, which we appreciate. It's great to see the react coming in on the text lines at 670-11 from Cubs fans saying, wow, this is just what the Cubs needed, and they've got him under control. And from White Sox fans going, wow, I didn't think the White Sox were going to be able to get this type of haul back for Jose Quintana. It feels like, and we won't know for years later about who won this deal, but it feels like this is so good for both squads. I wasn't kidding when I said earlier that to me, this puts the Cubs back in play.
For this year?
This is them going back in business. Now,
it's also 20 days before the deadline, or 19 days. That means you get an extra 3 starts or so.
They still have work to do. And the guys have got to get better offensively. But we brought it up earlier, Kyle and Kyle. You're getting Kyle Hendricks back. At least it looks like you're getting Kyle Hendricks back.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've added this. So now, if you're really looking at it, if I don't want to say he's going to be last year's Kyle Hendricks, because that's a lot, the ERA leader. But you're talking about bolstering your rotation back to a very solid level. And if you can get Lester to kind of harness the good stuff that he did in the first half.
Keep Arrieta on the path that he's been, using the changeup more, and leading with the curve some.
And you know what else it means, Speaks? Less John Lackey starts.
Which would be fine. I think that would be fine. There are some who want to start the DFA clock on John Lackey. You'll have to wait for a while on that. I don't think there's necessarily any reason to go down that path just yet. But you might get there. You might get there. We'll have to see. I think as we've gauged all the reaction coming in, and we're about to go to your phone calls, the 312-644-6767, if there is a negative, it has been from Cub fans saying, I can't believe they gave up what was left in the farm system for this guy. And maybe they don't realize what a down year it has been for specific reasons that Quintana has figured out. Maybe they don't realize and look past the win-loss record. Oh, I think most do. But Jose Quintana's measurables are the peripherals are much better than the obvious stats. That's one thing. And the other thing is, it's 3 more years. So it's the window right now and the window through 2020. But that's the, if there's a negative, that's the one we're seeing the most of.
Yeah, but I think overall, if you're either one of these franchises, knowing the direction that the White Sox are going in, the White Sox haven't been losing. I mean, they've been losing on the field. But when it comes to what they've done.
You said, man, 14 months to end up where they are with 9 of the top 68 prospects. They will now lose a little bit more here in the second half.
Sure.
They're going to end up with a top 5 pick in next year's draft. And oh, by the way, some of your guys on the big league level, Avisail Garcia and others, are playing a little bit better than you thought.
And you heard Rick say with us that he hopes that he'll be busy over the next couple of weeks, that he's probably going to hear from teams that want Melky Cabrera,
mm-hmm,
or maybe Jose Abreu. He's going to hear from people who want Tommy Canley, who I think is really valuable, and someone that if I was making a run, I would want Tommy Canley in the back end of my bullpen. Robertson is another guy that can move. So expect that there are going to be moves that are out there to be made. But I do love, I really love, and I'm one of those people that bought in. Like, I literally bought in. I bought season tickets this year for White Sox because I wanted it on the books that I, as a fan,
appreciated
that they are going this route and they are going full bore on this route.
Because people have been asking for it for a long time.
And I was really angry at the White Sox last year when some of that stuff came out and it was like, oh, well, they're not going to do a deal with the Cubs because of the Cubs, which to me is insanity to not do a deal with a team that can help you. And I thought Rick articulated it well. With us saying, why would we short ourselves on a deal just because it's the team from 8 miles up north?
For those who are wondering, yes, Danny Parkins went way over on his over-under of tweets that he would make about sports while in Italy. He went way over today. He also showcased a third different sports shirt that he's wearing in Venice. Because
what was the shirt today?
Today was it was a disco demolition anniversary shirt of some kind.
Okay, it was 38th anniversary of disco demolition.
As it was. But Danny's on honeymoon, and Lawrence and I taking your phone calls. This has been the voice of the fan since 1992. Dave is in Highland Park. You're on the score. What's up, Dave?
Thanks for taking my call. I think this move, which I just heard about maybe an hour ago, I thought it was more of an upset for the Cubs, but if I was the White Sox executive, I would have forced the Cubs' hands and said, I don't want just prospects. You give me one or two position players like Javi Baez, Albert Almora or something. I would have forced their hand. If they want some pitching that bad, I would have got a position player, period.
I think he did force their hand. He did force their hand.
Good enough. He didn't force it good enough.
Well, I mean, there's
the Cubs out a lot more.
Dave, when do you expect them to compete and win?
I'm not going to give the crosstown team a good.
No. I'm asking you when. You're hung up on the crosstown team thing, right?
Well, you should have got some position players from the Cubs.
No, when do you expect when do you want your team to be competing for a World Series? What year? Give me a year.
Well, it's not a question of what year. As soon as possible, of course, but.
No. It is a question of what year. Because you know, Javi Baez or somebody like that, you have a shorter clock on those guys. And this is about 2 years from now, maybe 3 years from now. But even more than that, if you're angry, just say it, man. You're angry about them dealing with the Cubs.
I don't expect the Cubs to give up Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo. Of course not. But Javi Baez and Schwarber, it's fair game.
I don't think that Rick Hahn wanted.
The Schwarber thing's kind of interesting.
I don't think Rick Hahn wanted those guys. I think this is what's got to come out of this. Is the information, and we're starting to get some of it trickled in, and believe me, I'll be digging. I know you'll be digging to try and find out what was offered before Theo said, okay, we'll give you Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease. Because to me, it could very well be, it would make all the sense in the world for it to be one piece off the Major League roster. One of the many four that we've talked about, whether it's Ian Happ or Kyle Schwarber or Baez or Russell or somebody like that.
I do think that sometimes there are fans that we give fans a lot of credit and they deserve it, because I think that there's a much smarter fan now than even when we first started at this radio station. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there are still some people that go, well, I don't know that guy. I don't know who Eloy Jimenez is. I don't know who Dylan Cease is.
Right.
It's hard for me to get excited. If you would have given me Javi Baez, that's a player that I've at least seen
don't
and I can get excited about.
Those kind of fans are outliers now. I really do believe that.
I think they're a dying breed, but I think that they do still exist.
They do, but what's been remarkable is that a successful, very well-covered 5-year project for Cubs rebuild and ascension and World Series title has informed White Sox fans so much.
Absolutely.
In terms of their openness and willingness to look at this for what it is and to zoom out and expand the focus.
I think the White Sox have had the example of the Cubs right there in front of your face, but also the example of the Astros and in their own division, the Minnesota Twins.
Yes.
They've had those examples of teams that have kind of burned it to the ground and tried to build it back up. And with the thing that I think is important when it comes to the Cubs-White Sox dynamic is that they've seen the way that Cubs fans have reacted to it, that there isn't this, oh no, you got to be going for it every single year.
Yeah, no, those people got talked down during the first 3 years, mostly by Cubs fans who were embracing the long view.
And I know for a fact that the White Sox front offices have fielded phone calls from White Sox fans over the last 6 months of fans going, thank you for this. this is what we needed. What took you guys so long to do it this way? We were ready for this 2 years ago.
This is Phil in Libertyville on the Score. Hello, Phil. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Like your show.
Thanks.
I was. If I'm going to grade this trade, and I am a White Sox fan, then I would grade it an A-. I am happy with the trade. However, I do agree with the last caller that they should have had one starting player from the Cubs included in that trade.
Because you want a guy who's proven to be able to play at the big league level?
Yeah, it'll also help down the road because I think that these prospects, it's only going to be about 2 or 3 years at the most, and we're going to start to see them. I think it would only help in the long run.
Well, the question is, do you think Eloy Jimenez is going to be a better hitter and player than Kyle Schwarber, let's say? A lot of people do. You ask talent evaluators around baseball, do you want Eloy Jimenez or Kyle Schwarber? Especially with the first few months of this season now as the new information, there's going to be a ton of people who would have said Eloy Jimenez as an answer to that, literally straight up. So just because you see somebody on the big league roster doesn't mean they have a higher ceiling necessarily than Eloy Jimenez.
And can I just say that I'd like to just, again, put this on the record. I want people to stop trying to trade Javi Baez. Stop it.
Well, that's a conversation I can have next week.
If you're a White Sox fan, yeah, I'd love to have Javi Baez playing for the White Sox, but y'all need to stop.
Look,
dude needs to play more, Albert Almora Jr.
That was me a long time ago, and it is still occasionally me.
Stop it.
But only, it's not me when I see Addison Russell regressing like this. So that stopped it from being me. Dead cold, because Addison Russell's approach to the plate has been so god awful all year, continuing until now,
that you're ready to go Baez Hap.
I don't know. I don't know how often I want to see Addison Russell in the lineup if this is him. You know, and I'm not saying this is him, but this is a horrific version of Addison Russell. That's for sure. Maddox Boy is on the Northwest side. Hello, Maddox Boy. How are you?
Hey guys, great show. You guys sound good together.
What a day, man! What a day, Maddox Boy, long time baseball human. How about today, huh?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a palpable interest, mainly because of the amount of control that it gives both sides of town. Really,
yep.
For everyone who wants to trade a player from the Cubs' present roster, you know, the clock doesn't start on Eloy Jimenez until he brings him up to the major leagues, and so you know, like the old seven is more than six. You know, six is more than four, right? I mean, if you're going to go out and get someone like Baez, he's already got 2 years of major league experience.
Right.
You're going to start going into his, you know, you're going to start going into his arbitration years by the time this team is good enough to start competing. But that's not why I called. I called for a couple other reasons. The first one is I think that Jose Quintana did press a lot this year. I think this presses the reset button for him in the best possible way. He doesn't have to move from Chicago. He gets to stay in his place. You know, his routine can pretty much stay the same as it was. He doesn't have to worry about going to Houston or New York or anywhere else. And there's a second thing. He's not pitching against the Cubs at the end of July. He'll be pitching for the Cubs. So
it's very big regarding, because the Brewers, I think, were very, very interested. And the fact that the Brewers stuff came public really makes me wonder how much Rick Hahn had to do with getting that out there, frankly.
Hey, like I said, if Rick was on the phone like, hey, Theo, if he's hiding at the fan convention going, Theo, I just got off the phone with the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
They so want Jose Quintana.
I mean, think about it. If this were year one of the Cubs rebuild and you had a Cubs fan saying, why didn't we get somebody off the major league roster? They'd be missing the point drastically, as I think both of those callers were.
And by the way, just to reset, because we know that the audience changes and appreciate Texas reminding us, the Cubs traded away Eloy Jimenez, Dylan Cease, who are two of their top prospects. Cease is a pitcher. Jimenez is an outfielder. They also traded Matt Rose, who's a first base prospect, who's down at Myrtle Beach. And Brian, the way that Zach's been saying is Flaita?
Yeah, it could entirely be true.
He's a second baseman down at Myrtle Beach. They sent them to the White Sox. In return, the Cubs got Jose Quintana. And just to give you some of the numbers on Quintana for those that aren't as familiar with him, why don't we start in 2013 with him, where he goes 200 innings, has an ERA of 3.5. In 2014, he goes 200 innings, ERA of 3.32. 2015, 206 and a third, 3.36 ERA. Last year, 208 as far as innings pitched with an ERA of 3.20. This year, not great. 104 and a third, 4.5 ERA, but in the last month,
yeah, an amazing
he's been
June.
Much better.
He had a remarkable June, and a couple things happened. He's a guy who is one of those pitchers who really believes, he and Don Cooper really believe, that the different baseball that's out there these days affected him. He was getting unexpected cut, meaning it was going from left to right on his fastball. And when he wasn't throwing something that he expected to cut, it was cutting, and it was throwing off his control and really wreaking havoc. That was a big thing. And also there was a mechanical issue as well. So then he had a remarkable June and got back to being Jose Quintana.
In June, his batting average against, let's see, I want to make sure I get all this right. His batting average against was what, 194? In June,
yeah, remarkable
for him. So he's been much better because in the first half, teams were hitting 246 against him.
We're going to tell you some stuff about Matt Rose and Bryant Fleta. We're going to tell you some stuff about those two guys as well when we come back on 670 The Score. Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez are the big pieces. And your thoughts on what Rick Hahn has done, what Epstoyer has done. Continuing on The Score, it's Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes in for Danny Parkins.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's Rick Hahn, last hour on with me, Matt Spiegel, and him, Lawrence Holmes. Lawrence in for Danny Parkins these last 4 days. Barry Rosner is with me tomorrow on what should be a heavy baseball day as well. Also, Casey Johnson going to be in studio tomorrow to talk about that crazy Bulls Summer League stuff. But right now, we're talking about the Jose Quintana trade to the Chicago Cubs. I keep thinking that somebody is turning on the radio as they get out of their meeting or whatever, and they hear, what?! Which is basically what we said when Joe Ostrowski walked in the middle of a commercial break and said this just happened.
Well, what's crazy is that we had just spent the segment before talking about, you know, just throwing stuff at the wall from listeners. Remember that texts come in and we're talking about, you know, not vetting stories and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, we're just going to say anything.
I turned that into basically a drinking game of every day. Okay, who's sending in the dumb Quintana the Cubs text?
And of course, like, Joe came in here like the Flash. It was like, did you guys see the White Sox tweet? And that's the even more interesting part about it.
The White Sox break the news.
The White Sox and the Cubs kept it away from their reporters.
The Cubs have not spoken about it yet.
Well, they tweeted it out.
They tweeted, but the GMs and such, and Jed Hoyer is going to be on this station at 2:00 with Bernstein and Goff.
But it was just so interesting to see, like, okay, I don't have to now, like, all I have to verify is that I have the right White Sox account that I'm looking at. Yeah, I got to verify the blue check mark.
Make sure it's not Right Sox,
right.
Tom Fornelli.
Right. And then go, okay, this is what's happening. Tweet it out and get the reaction. And then we're glad to be that conduit to the organizations for you to talk about how you feel about the deal.
Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease are the main pieces. There is also a second baseman who is 24 years old, currently playing for Myrtle Beach, named Bryant. There it is. Hang on. I've got Len Casper saying it because he texted it to me just to be safe that it's Bryant Fleta.
Fleta
is who it is. Bryant Fleta, and he's 24 years old, his career in the minors, 432 games at several different levels, a career on base percentage of .350, career OPS. There, thank you. A career OPS just over 700. Not a power guy whatsoever. 14 career homers, some steals, 46. But at 24, that is not a big-time prospect. Matt Rose is the first baseman, also at Myrtle Beach, age 22. Has a lot more pop. 35 career homers, including 14 this year so far. 14 homers, 38 RBIs. An OPS of .761, batting average, career of .241. What's interesting is that Myrtle Beach and Winston-Salem are playing against each other. And those two guys, and Eloy Jimenez, the three of them can just walk across from one locker room to the other.
Yep. Just move your stuff, get some new gear when you go into the new clubhouse, and start the rest of your life. I thought it was a great point by Mag's boy, Quintana. You don't have to upset your life too much.
Yeah.
You live here during the season. You don't have to leave your house, and you get to move to another team that is in a race to win the National League Central. And if you're the Cubs, you took Quintana off the table for the Brewers.
Yes, Brewers, Astros, Knicks, and others, all in on conversations with Rick Hahn before we got
did
to where we are.
Did you say the Knicks?
I did.
Are they in on it?
I'm telling you, that's
they could be.
That's a terribly run organization. It's entirely possible.
They're out asking if he can play point.
Open mouth, say things. This segment brought to you by Shell. You deserve to be rewarded today at Shell with instant gold status. Just join the Fuel Rewards program and save on every fill every day at Shell. Yankees, not Knicks. Join now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Let's quickly talk to Crawley in Wrigleyville before we get an update from Joe Ostrowski. Crawley, what do you think?
Such a great day for Chicago baseball. Both teams, really, I think this is a win-win type of deal. You know, and hats off to Rick Hahn, you know, for getting over that silliness of not trading with the other side. You think with the Cubs, what you're taking a look here, number one, for Cub fans freaking out, three of the four guys you traded are blocked. Where were you going to put those guys? The other point I wanted to really make is that, you know, you're not going to get a guy like Jose Quintana for Dan Vogelbach. You have an elite, cost-controlled pitcher for the next 3 years, and this is their window, like you guys have been saying. And then the other thing you want to take a look at is not only does it help you now as far as making a run right now for this year, but imagine the Cubs signing a free agent pitcher next year. You may have three studs in that lineup to start next year if you sign a free agent, probably a righty to go between the lefties. And then last year's ERA pitcher would be your number four.
That's exactly right, Crawley. I think they will buy themselves a pitcher this coming offseason. It's not a terrific market, but depending on how they feel about Yu Darvish, I mean, I don't know how big they're going to go, but they will spend some money on pitching. That's always been the idea. They have young, cost-controlled position players and now a cost-controlled starter for the next four pennant races.
I kind of like the visual of Jose Quintana in his White Sox uniform walking into Madison Square Garden. Like he's got his mitt and his White Sox cap on.
This is a beautiful place.
And this is a nice place here. What am I supposed to do?
Right.
Throw it at the basket.
And James Dolan being like, why is he wearing cleats? What did I do?
What did I do? Here's Zach with the scoreboard update.
All right, let me throw one at you, Lawrence. Kristaps Porzingis for Jose Quintana. Straight up.
Let's do this.
Right?
Let's do this. Let's go.
Our guest tomorrow, Jonah Carey, is in a fantasy league that is what is it? It's NBA, NFL, and MLB. It's all
really?
It's all three leagues. Yeah, it's a legend.
When's the year end?
It's called the League of Legends. He's written about it. It's amazing. But you can make when you do the draft, everybody from all three sports is available. It's insane, and you can make trades across sports. It actually functions very, very well, and I desperately want in it, but
so
he's not letting me in.
Quintana's last start for the White Sox was the 8th against Colorado.
Mm-hmm. So and he was okay. So you're trying to do the math on if it's going to line up with the Cubs and Sox.
Four games back to back to back to back, right?
Four games, man. Four games, I probably will. I'll tell you, the one thing that has not gone well for the White Sox is the last seven starts of Derek Holland. Now, you may not give a crap on a day like today, but it's funny because that's a sign-in trade. A sign-in flip was the dream. Holland's first 10 starts, a 2.37 ERA, 227 batting average against, six innings per start. His last seven starts, ERA over 10. Just a little over four innings per start, a 368 batting average against. There's no value there anymore. That's what's gone wrong in this White Sox rebuild / tank win season. Other than that, what has gone wrong?
There's nothing. I mean, they make the trade to send Chris Sale away. They get back fantastic stuff.
Moncada and Kopech still look exactly like what they were projected to be.
You make the trade for Eaton, you get back stuff, and then he gets hurt.
And guess what? Giolito, we knew then that Giolito was no longer the blue chip no-brainer that he had been in the past.
Needed some work to be done.
Still needs it.
And you know, reverting back to, I saw a quote from him where he was talking about how he hasn't felt right since like sophomore year of high school,
mm-hmm.
where he hasn't felt like comfortable and confident. Then you get...
But they got Ronaldo Lopez, who also looks good.
You get Robber.
Yes.
In the bidding war for that guy, you get him.
You get the number one international prospect.
In the last year where you can do stuff like this.
Because of the weirdness of the money issues.
And now you make this trade for Quintana and get a player in Eloy Jimenez that a lot of people coveted. If you're going into the Cubs minor leagues, you're getting the two guys that you want to get. Mm-hmm. Out of their minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a really good run for the White Sox outside of what the major league team is doing. And by the way,
there's a nice sense of cohesion with what the major league team is doing because they're battling every day and they're playing a better brand of ball and feeling better about themselves than they have in years.
And a guy who most White Sox fans would have been fine if you DFA'd went to the All-Star game.
Yeah. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. This is William in Highland Park on the score. Hello, William. What's happening?
Hey, guys. So I just want to talk about Jose Abreu. I saw you guys were talking about him earlier.
Yes.
I think he is such an integral part of the rebuild, and I'm a Sox fan, so I'm a little biased. But I think all Sox fans would actually want him to stay, regardless of the prospect call. I mean, I guess if we get a King's ransom, we'd be happy with it. But I think White Sox fans view him to be kind of the Paul Konerko of the team in the run when we get all the prospects up. I mean, I think that's the perception of Jose. Is just, he's beloved.
Yeah, and deservedly so. What's interesting, by the way...
Nice bounce back year for Jose Abreu, by the way.
We had Rick Hahn say the name Jose in that cut at the beginning of our interview. He might have meant Quintana.
No, I think he did. I think he meant Quintana.
Okay, I heard that wrong and ran with it in terms of Abreu.
But I do think that they're not going to turn people away if there is some interest in Jose Abreu, who's having a really, really strong year. 16 home runs for him, 299, 349, 522 for an .871 on base plus slugging for him. If you're looking for a right-handed bat, I mean, that is adding a quality bat and a guy who is still young enough to be in prime. He's 30, right? He's 30 years old, mm-hmm. still in his prime for a couple more years. It could help you now and could help you. If I'm the White Sox, I am open to the idea of talking about him. It's not like he's off limits. And I know there are some people think he should be off limits because of the guidance that he can provide Robber and Moncada.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is some validity to that. But I also think the White Sox as an organization have done a great job of figuring out how to help Cuban players adapt, and I think as an organization, they get how it's done and how to do it with these two guys.
God, I love baseball. I know everybody knows that, but baseball, the hot stove season is one thing, but you get this, which happens in the middle of the freaking year, and it always builds up to it. It builds up to the season, and then when a team jumps the gun like this, there's still almost 3 weeks left for the Cubs to make more maneuvers in all sorts of directions, and the White Sox to do something with Robertson and Canely and more.
How crazy is this? We had the Cubs pre- and post-game host, Mark Grodion.
Uh-huh.
We made a couple text messages and phone calls, and we're going to get the White Sox pre- and post-game host.
Our guy!
McDoink, Connor McKnight. That's right. WLS, put him out on loan. We get to hang out with him.
Limbaugh's coming on right after.
Limbaugh's going to break down what's going on between Cubs and Sox. No, but Connor McKnight is going to join us next to talk about this deal because we're not done.
Nope.
Jose Quintana traded from the White Sox to the Cubs for some top prospects. We're discussing it right here on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Connor McDoink, legendarily enough. 670, The Score is where you are. Lawrence, when there was baseball happening at midnight a couple weeks back when the White Sox and Yankees got delayed by like 4 hours.
Yeah, I went to that game after I finished my show.
Did you? Oh, I didn't know that. I was there around the same time.
Yeah.
Because I got out of bed and put on some clothes and went over and ended up sitting there with Connor McKnight. I was wearing clothes. With our old friend Connor McKnight watching some baseball on a beautiful midnight. And now we get to welcome him back onto the Score airwaves. It's Connor McKnight joining us on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. We remember you. Hi, Connor.
Hi, guys.
White Sox made kind of a big deal. You do their pre and post on a different radio station called WLS. What do you think of what they got for Jose Quintana?
Well, I'm pretty floored by it, guys. I think that's first and foremost. And I think, you know, I'm sure you guys have been appraised of the conference call that Rick Hahn had a little while ago. And I think, you know, when he mentions things like there were teams that aren't in contention this year that were barking and talking about Quintana, that's how valuable he was. And it kind of leads you to understand why the Cubs would give up the prospects they did. I watched Eloy Jimenez this fall in the AFL and in spring training. He's just a different kind of human. I mean, that's an incredible kind of bat. And if he does, you know, grow into the kind of skill set that we've seen him have, you know, that's an elite type of hitter that you build a lineup around. And that's what you should get for Jose Quintana. Can't help but think, you know, what this deal, whether it's with the Cubs or somebody else, might have looked like in the hypothetical if Q is Q for the first 6 weeks of the season, not just the last 6 weeks. But I think you got an incredible return here, especially considering what you're giving up. I think it's pretty incredible.
Connor, Cubs fans that don't watch him as closely as you have over the last 2 or 3 years, what are they getting in Jose Quintana?
You're getting one of the gutsiest pitchers in Major League Baseball. Lawrence, I know you see him every time and speaks. I know you do too. But like to watch him work, go back to his start against the Rockies, his last time out, right? 5 1/3, 10 strikeouts. To watch it, you might look at that start and go, oh, he gave up 3 and Nolan Arenado got him for a long ball. And maybe that's, oh man, is this the guy you really want to see? That's one of his best starts of the year. That was a brutal game. You're in Coors. You're facing a Rockies lineup that knows how to work the stick. It was ridiculous to watch him figure out, okay, this curveball's not working up here with the ball and the atmosphere. How do I fix this? Where do I have to go with the fastball? How do I have to work in the change? The way he fought each and every one of those Rockies hitters that came up was gutsy as all hell. And that's the guy that the Cubs are getting on that mound every fifth day. Minor league free agents never work out. They hardly ever play in the big leagues. And here he is, a minor league free agent pickup that the White Sox and Jose Quintana himself turned into one of the top left-handers, top 5, top 7 left-handers in baseball. That's the kind of guy you're getting.
And those guts for a lefty, I mean, that's how you describe John Lester. Different stuff. Lester throws the cutter and leads with that. Quintana's a four-seam, curve, sinker, and the change, like you mentioned. But those guts and an arm that doesn't seem to break down will go a hell of a long way to aging very well in the National League, don't you think?
Oh, I think so. You know, you take out the designated hitter. You know, you're adding in a pitcher to that lineup. You're working with an arm that's got 200 innings on it. I think every year he's been in the rotation. And in talking with Don Cooper, the White Sox pitching coach, and this is around the Burley retirement ceremony, just the way he talks about Coop, talks about guys going 200 innings, getting to the post every fifth day and being out there for that club. You can tell that, you know, that's been a big thing for him his whole career, both pitching and now into coaching. And that's been a big impetus for the White Sox, something that they've driven at really since before Burley, to be honest. But ever since he got in there with the stuff he did and the way he pitched, that's been a huge thing. And I think that gets drilled into guys, whether they're in the minor league system, whether they come over from other places. And I think Q absolutely strives to do that as maybe a number one, to be out there and to provide innings and to provide depth. And yeah, I know my view from the Cubs or looking at the Cubs isn't as good as Grody's at this point, but it looks to me that's the guy you've got to have if you're the Chicago Cubs this season. That would probably help too, but this is the move they had to make.
Connor McKnight joining us. He is the host of White Sox Pre and Post on WLS and the Chicago White Sox Radio Network. Connor, looking at the last year or so of White Sox baseball and the new direction that they've gone, I know that you have to deal with the day in and day out of what goes on with the games. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the White Sox as an organization and the transformation that they've made in the last year, what do you see?
I guess I see an influx of talent that I can't quite even comprehend at this point. I mean, really, from top to bottom, and you've just added in now Gavin Sheets and Jake Berger, the first and second pick in this last year's draft, just hit Kannapolis. Like, to process the kind of talent and the development lines for all these guys is pretty incredible. And I think you know, we've come to learn from the outside perspective, you know, we're not Baseball America, the three of us, but we do kind of understand that development's not linear. And I think the White Sox, in adding so many of these guys, whether arms or bats, have tried the best they can to protect themselves from the fact that development's not linear. And at different points, you're going to have some of these guys hitting the big leagues, hitting their stride in the minor leagues and becoming the next, you know, whatever it is, top X in baseball, top prospect in baseball. And I think that kind of excitement and I think that kind of focus has even driven guys like Adam Engel, who is now in center field for the White Sox and wasn't on a top 15 list coming into this year. I think that pushes those guys to work their game a little harder. And maybe if I've seen anything immediately, it's maybe been that.
Hey, Connor, sorry about that. What were Quintana's issues the first few months of the season? I read something mechanical, and also he was getting some unexpected cut on the ball, maybe because of the seams.
Yeah, you know, getting guys to talk about, and I've asked, and I won't say, you know, specifically who I've talked to or whatever, but like, yeah, the ball is an issue. I think, you know, when you've got guys like Marcus Stroman, right, saying that the ball is creating all sorts of blister issues for guys that have never had blisters before, I think we do have to start looking at whether or not the ball is doing everything that we've been asking it to do over the last 15 years or so. But for Q, the issue was fastball command. I mean, that's what it boiled down to. It was fastball command. And it wasn't there. And it was strange to see a guy who's lived on that for so long lose that for as long as he did, but to watch him fight with it a little bit and discover it some. I mean, there are two really great starts in the midst of that 10 first starts of the year where you go, oh, that's Jose Quintana. But he's not doing it the way we're used to seeing him do it. He was, you know, kind of striking guys out with other methods and using changeups, pitching backwards a little bit, which is not something he, you know, all that typically does. So I think it really did come down to fastball command. I think the ball has been some issue, but good luck getting them to admit anything about it.
How great is it for Quintana? You go from working with Coop to working with Bosio. You know, yeah. Like, that's yeah. Not bad. That's not a bad life if you're a pitcher.
No, it's not. And I, you know, I still think that defense behind him going over to the north side could be, yeah, it'd be what it was last year. But I think you're still going to have a team that picks it up and throws it over every now and again. And who knows, Lawrence, maybe they'll score a couple runs for him. I mean, that'd be nice for
well,
Jose Quintana. That'd be really nice.
It's kind of the wrong year to be expecting the Cubs to do that so far.
I'm just saying the guy's gotten the ND more often than anybody in the history of baseball. There's my hawkism for it. Yeah. In the history of baseball. But my goodness, put a cut. This is. And yeah, I know a lot of White Sox fans have reached out on Twitter and whatnot. And kind of the parting wish for Quintana to the Cubs and little memo, if you can write it from us to you. Score some runs for the guy. Just give him a couple W's. It'd be nice to watch.
Yeah, nothing but good feelings from White Sox fans to Jose Quintana. And the same can be said about Score employees and Connor McKnight.
Thanks, man. It's kind of cool coming back. Say hey to Mitch for me.
We will, Connor, we will definitely do. And you're sounding great on pre and post, my
yes,
man.
Yes, you are. Thanks, Connor. All right, man. That's Connor McKnight.
About a farm system over there at White Sox. Benetti and McKnight?
I know.
It's a pretty good farm system they got over there.
Yeah, but that's our draft pick. We get credit for McKnight, right?
And kind of for Benetti since he was a Score intern.
Oh yeah, that's true. See?
Yeah.
See, you get taken from us. Whatever. If you're going to steal from the best. We'll do Bernstein and Goff transition next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.